Hi, welcome to the Pennsylvania 44th House District primary Republican debate. This is the pre-show. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew Lane.
I'm your other host, Brianna McCann.
And we are here with Chris Sperger from the League of Women Voters of Greater Pittsburgh.
Hi. Thanks
nice
for having
to have
me.
You here. So we're going to talk some politics.
Okay, so our first question is, when you moderate these debates for down-ballot candidates, have you seen them moving further along the ideological spectrum in the same way that the national parties have been moving?
I think when you're in a down-ballot, it's more local. People are looking more to what's going on in their daily lives, constituents and local issues, and issues that are more important to them. As you saw with Connor Lamb's campaign, he didn't focus on a Democratic ideology.
No, that's true.
In the national party, he said, "I work for you. I'm going." He went to meet all of his constituents door to door, and he wanted to know what issues are important to you. And that's what these debates do. The audience ask us the questions, and we ask the candidates. So these debates are questions that are important to people and issues to the people that are here. And it may fall along party lines. Some of it may, but some of it may not. I think with the down ballots and in more local elections, you have to be out there and know what's important to your constituents. And sometimes it's not the same as the national parties. And I believe that's what Connor Lamb did quite well. People say, is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? No, he is a representative of the people, and he wanted to be representative of his constituents. And that's what a lot of the debates that we see, a lot of the issues that the questions that people ask are important to them personally in their life.
Yeah, I like that you bring up the Lamb campaign, because honestly, I think that was one of the best campaigns I've seen.
Yes.
In terms of in running from the center, because I'm a Republican,
mm-hmm.
Center right, but I was thinking, if all Republicans or if all Democrats were like Connor Lamb, then I'd probably be a Democrat. He's very just like, I mean, he's a great guy, had all of the intangibles that you need. It was just a fantastic campaign.
Very middle of the road in his ideology. However, one of the most endearing factor or points of Connor is that he listens.
Yeah.
He listens to his constituents, and he's bringing back the way politics used to be when politicians worked for us, not the other way around. So he and hopefully he can start a wave of not, you know, the blue wave coming, but maybe it's a wave of maybe the politicians will get back to listening to us because they do work for us. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that, and a lot of people are turned off from politics because of that.
Right.
And a lot of these debates, because they do focus on what's important to the people that attend and or people that ask questions on Facebook, they're not always in line straight party. And you have to be able to compromise and listen. And hopefully the candidates that are here tonight will understand that. And we'll see. Yeah.
Speaking of tonight's candidates, I assume that they're all sort of new to politics, right? They probably haven't really debated much. What kind of mistakes do you normally see these newbies make when they enter these things?
They could get a little personal if there are some maybe issues going on between some of the candidates that might come through. We try to, because we have question sorters, and thank you to the Robert Morris University students who are going to help us with that question sorting. We don't ask any questions that are seen as a personal attack towards any of the candidates.
Right.
So no personal issues will be brought up. So that kind of tames it. Our forums are not usually heated. I hope not. Because it's more of a discussion.
Right. Yeah.
And we keep it to that. And my role as a moderator is that to moderate, but to ease the situation. If somebody does you know, start to get out of hand a little bit, I have to pull them in and rein them in and bring them back to why we're here. We're not here to attack people. We're here to educate the public. We're here to educate the so they can, when they go into the voting booth and the primary, they are educated on, these are my four choices, who is most in line with, I feel, will work for me and with, for my ideals and for my views. So we don't really see a lot of, you know, fist fighting or anything.
Right, but you don't want to act as like a safety net, though, right? Like if, no. if somebody makes a major mistake.
What kind of mistake?
Well, I mean, maybe like political, if like they say something that's really off base, or they just can't perform. But you wouldn't. Would you then change the subject so that they don't seem too uncomfortable?
The format is they will have a minute to answer a question.
Okay.
So once that minute is up, they have to be quiet. So I think that's pretty much how it would be handled. If they're not allowed to address each other.
At all?
No.
Really?
It's done, and they have opening statements, and then they answer the questions. Each candidate will answer each question and have 1 minute. And once their minute is up, so if a candidate does make a jab or something, the candidates would have to use their minute. If they have a rebuttal, they'll have to use their minute
okay.
for the next question. They'll have to give up that minute. Okay. So that could happen.
So kind of going off of that, to what extent do you feel that these debates like affect the performances of candidates, of their popularity, especially when these debates like aren't televised, so people are just hearing what they say? You know, what do you think, like what impact do you think that has on the candidates?
I mean, assuming they don't debate that many times right. in a primary race.
Correct. Hopefully, we're live streaming it. We're hoping we get some more people looking at it live stream. But you're right, attendance sometimes is not that great. A lot of the people that come are campaign folks for the candidates. But the people that do come, I think, are the ones who say, I don't know who I want to vote for. I want to see what they have to say. And this gives them the opportunity to see them and ask them a question. So we do get more people who are more motivated to come out to these debates, who want to educate themselves. So I think in that sense, if they're having a real issue, well, I like him, I like her, but, you know, they're kind of on the line. I think these debates will really give them a clear picture on how they answer their questions. So their ideology may be very similar because this is, of course, a Republican, and this is the primary. So we'll be doing debates on both sides. We'll be doing Democratic primary debates. We do have one coming up with Ray Linsenmeyer and Connor Lamb. Mm-hmm. And we have this Republican. So we're not going to see a lot of, probably you won't see a lot of disagreement.
I wasn't sure that anybody was still in that Democratic primary. With
Ray
Lamb.
Is, yes. Yeah. He's not dropping out. Yeah.
Good
yep.
for him.
Yep. So he. So we won't see a lot of difference like with this because the same party. But when we do forums for the November election, when we have party candidates from different parties, that's when it gets a little bit more, like you said, maybe a little bit more like, you know, disagreements. But I see a lot of the answers tonight may be the same between the candidates. So, and it may be somebody's come, maybe they want to see if they're personable or if they can talk to the public, you know, because when you're a state rep, you have to meet your constituents come in all the time. You have to be able to speak and talk to them, you know. It's an important part of their job. So maybe they just want to see that. There's a lot of reasons why people come, but I think the people that are here will be the motivated folks. And I guess our goal as a league is how do we get the people who aren't as motivated, you know, to come out. That's why, you know, we try and advertise. We do the live streaming, and we try and get out there as much as possible for all the candidates. We actually have a vote 411 website that's going to be up and running, and that's a great tool. It's a candidates, an online candidates guide, They answer three questions. All candidates running for all offices across this, in not only in our county, in our state, answer the same three questions. And all you do is put in your zip code, and it pops up who is going to be on your ballot.
Yeah,
that's a great system.
And then it's, they give you a side-by-side comparison. They have their answers up there, so you can compare all the candidates by the answers that they gave. So that's another way we're trying to reach voters and to educate voters.
That's great. I was wondering, like, for tonight, because normally in, like, primary debates or in just primaries in general, people will try to align themselves further and further towards the edge of mm-hmm. the spectrum mm-hmm. because that's where the votes come from in primaries.
Mm-hmm.
But in these things where I don't even know if all the candidates know where their opponents stand, I'm interested to see how they align themselves in terms of answering questions and what stance they take.
Yeah, primaries are all about, you know, appealing to the base.
It is, yeah.
Definitely. So that'll be interesting to see.
Right.
So PA has never had a female U.S. senator and currently has no women in Congress. It also broke its general Democratic trend in 2016 and didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. So does Pennsylvania have...
Or Kathy.
Pardon me?
Hmm? The candidate who went against Toomey.
That's right.
Did she win?
No.
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 Yeah.
She would have been the first, yeah,
right.
Senator, female.
So Sorry. Going off of that, oh, no, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. So going off of that, do you think Pennsylvania, for lack of a better way to phrase it, has a problem with women? And why do you think that is?
Oh, I hope they don't have a problem with women. Because I've lived here all my life, but I didn't feel like a problem. But I think Pennsylvania, for lack of a better way to say this, has always been a little slow to get to the, you know, to catch up with the times. It gets there.
It's interesting.
But it's
yeah.
slow. And now I grew up in Pittsburgh in the 80s. I'm much older than you. And now that Pittsburgh is exploding, and we're moving fast with the time technology and innovation. But even back in the 80s, Pittsburgh was like the rest of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We had a waterfront, no development. Like, nobody even wanted to put anything on the rivers. Like, people just slow getting to the ball game. And that's the way Pennsylvania is. And I think we're going to see a big change with the enthusiasm and all of the attention of young people getting into the elections. I think the younger generations are going to change that and hopefully moves Pennsylvania a little bit more quickly to getting up to speed with the rest of the country. And hopefully this fall we'll have some women elected, a lot more women elected. There's a lot of women running. That was a big thing because
right.
women did not run.
Actually, the Post-Gazette last week ran a story about that, about how many more women are running this year.
Yeah.
I actually have the graphic here. In for Senate, for the state Senate in 2016, it was a record low, 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it jumped all the way up to 41%. 41% of all seats have a female candidate.
Yeah, women are more engaged. They were, you know, in the past, they probably weren't as engaged as much as well. They didn't see the opportunity for themselves to be able to run and to win and get support to win. I think now there's a lot of support for women. There's Emerge Pennsylvania, that's a whole organization that encourages and trains women to run campaigns and to get into the races. So I think there's a change because women feel more empowered to do so. And that's another thing. I mean, women just weren't empowered to run. And, you know, because we were always behind, and I think now they see the support, and we'll probably see a change in that come November.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
So we do have a couple more questions. So if you could give the candidates tonight any advice, what would it be?
I'm not allowed to give them advice.
Well, you're not giving them advice, but what would you tell us that you would tell them?
Just to be civil.
Yeah.
Answer truthfully. You know, don't embellish. Don't, you know, to me, and I hate to keep going back to Connor Lamb, but
by all means,
he's just he's humble. He's a humble human being. Just be yourself. Don't try. You know, you are going to be trying to appeal to your base. Now, do you how much are you going to pull at that and be towards that without staying true to yourself? And I think that's about the only thing I would say is answer truthfully. And we're in that time of politics where maybe we're saying that they're going to cater to the base tonight, but maybe some of these candidates tonight will be that moderate Republican, will be that centrist, and will maybe have a progressive, more progressive view on something than some of the other candidates. But don't try and cover that up.
Right.
I'm hoping that they will be true and actually tell us truthfully, what their views are. Because if you are elected to be the nominee, and if you win in November, you have to represent this whole district. So you need to know who your representative is and that person's going to represent you, appropriately, the way he or she said.
Yeah.
And we do have a woman tonight too, so.
Right, Valerie.
Yeah, Davis. So that's great.
Yeah.
So three males and one female, yeah. That's
great. So the General Assembly this year is seeing a record number of retirements.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's just a natural trend, or are they maybe afraid of something? Do you think there's might be a wave coming this November? Do you think people are going to lose their seats? Is this going to be a Democratic takeover?
Well, speaking for the league, I'm nonpartisan, so I can't. I can't say one way or the other. There is definitely a momentum. There is a different level of engagement by younger generations who, historically have never showed up at the polls. And with the Parkland shooting and the kids' organization, their skills are phenomenal, organizational skills. If the marches are wonderful, and the rallies are great, but those kids have to get to the polls, to really affect change. Is you can go to as many rallies as you want, but to really affect change, you need to get to the polls because your voice is your vote. That's one of the mottos for the league is your voice is your vote. And hopefully all of their energy and what they're working for will get the younger generations to show up at the polls, because historically it's just very low, and it's very discouraging.
I've always wondered what it was.
Yeah, and I think maybe your generation now, like maybe they've woken up and say, "Whoa, maybe they thought they could never affect change, but I think now they can see how they can affect the change. Once they can see that in front of them, it really is a motivating factor for them to get to the polls, and that may be what we will see in November. And if those generations are more progressive, then you're going to see the blue wave. If those kids are more, conservative, then you would see the opposite.
Right.
In terms of retirement, I think there's a lot of chaos in D.C. right now. And I think a lot of the chaos and I think a lot of retirements has to do with that.
Yeah. Now, I think I've always wondered about the young people voting, because they always like to posture and sort of say, and show people how politically and civically minded they are. But I think the reason they don't show up at the polls so much is that it's just voting is just boring. You show up, you stand in the line. It's kind of like being at the DMV.
Oh,
Nothing's
worse than being at the DMV.
Right. It just feels very like, I don't know what the word is, bureaucratic, maybe?
Yeah, it doesn't have, if you're
it's
out
not warm
like
and
march,
fuzzy.
Exactly. If you're out at like a march or rally, it's this
right.
invigorating thing, but then
right.
you're standing
it's,
there in front of a machine.
Not, right. Yeah. I guess we need to try and make it. Maybe the league needs to put that into one of their goals, is to make voting, the polling places more exciting for the kids to show up. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, I love it. You go in, you vote, you leave.
Oh, I love
it too. It's simple. You hardly have to wait. Presidential elections sometimes, like in Florida, you see those long lines. Me personally, in Pittsburgh, in Allegheny County, I've never had to wait in those lines. Yeah. Maybe we have more polling places. I don't know. But you're right. Kids probably, they probably feel like it's, well, I got other things to do. Right. You know, but we have to change that in their minds and say it takes 10, 20 minutes out of your day. Just go do it. But every vote matters. And I think that's another thing that turns kids, younger kids, generations, like, do I really matter? Does my vote really matter? And as you can see in the last election, by 727 something votes for Connor, every vote does matter. Even absentee votes. My daughter, who went back to school, I had made sure she had her absentee ballot over Christmas, applied for it and got it so she could vote. Even absentee voting for college kids is very important. Yes. We register a lot of kids to vote in high schools, you know, seniors, but they're going to be gone next year, so we always have to review the absentee ballots as well. And to me, that's a little, to me, that's archaic and a little confusing, even for me. So I think that's part of our system that can be revamped, is absentee ballot. Automatic voter registration, which is now, was just passed in D.C. I mean Maryland, in the state of Maryland. Hopefully, we could get that. Of course, again, Pennsylvania's a little slow. That would help a lot of kids. You just automatically register to vote. Don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think that would get a lot more people to the polls as well.
Absolutely.
Now, we were expecting another guest, but I don't know if he's here.
Okay.
We could keep going, or we could wrap it up, depending on the studio schedule. Keep going? Okay. Oh. Well, since JD isn't here... I don't know.
There's somebody I read.
That's what we have. I don't know. It might not be him. Well, it was great having you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. Nice talking with you, too. See you at the debate.
Yes. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, now we're here with J.D. Prose from the Beaver County Times. So, J.D., you know these candidates. Who do you think has the best odds, as of now, to win this race?
It's a good question, and it's a very hard question. I really don't know at this point. It's hard to handicap. They're all very similar. They all have business backgrounds. They all have, you know, business experience. Some of them have government experience. David Bachman is a current Moon Township supervisor. Bob Dodato is a North Fayette Township supervisor. Scott LaRue is a former Moon Area School Board member. So you have education. Dodato works for Highmark. He has a healthcare background. Bachman owns a construction company and deals with the government, with regulators and permitting and such. Valerie Gatos has a very impressive business background as well. So it's really, you can get off into the weeds politically. You know, Valerie as a woman, does she have, maybe an advantage of doing something different and sending a woman to the general election? The other Democrat in the race is Michelle Knoll. There's expectations of the blue wave coming with Democrats. So would a Republican woman be able to mitigate that somehow? You have two people from Moon, Scott LaRue and David Bachman again. Do they split the Moon vote up and dilute that vote and hurt them and help, obviously, someone like Bob Dodato, who is from North Fayette and has a base, a political base there already?
We were talking to the last guest about how Pennsylvania doesn't elect that many women to office. Since the Democrat in the race is a woman, normally you parties like to nominate the opposite of the opposing candidate. It's just as a way of, you know, winning the whole other side.
Right, and it draws a distinction.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the Connor Lamb-Rick Saccone race last month.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the Democrats would have nominated Lamb had Republicans not nominated Saccone, because one's young, one's old, one's, you know, has more experience, one doesn't. You sort of want to pick the polar opposite if...
Right. Well, I thought that was a mistake by the Republicans from the very beginning. They should have gone with State Senator Guy Reschenthaler, who's a, you know, former military, a district judge, young, conservative. I've talked to Guy, you know, many times about various issues. And on some issues such as prison reform, judicial reform especially, I've teased him that he comes off as a progressive almost with some of the ideas he has, good ideas for reform. I thought the Republicans, I covered Rick. I used to cover Rick when I covered a bigger, basically all of Southwest PA. He was one of the people I covered. And he's a diehard conservative. He is who he says he is. And there's no changing that. And when they nominated him for that district, obviously in the context of the current political climate, even right. in Western Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and even with that district that, you know, Trump won by 20 points, a lot of people, in addition to me, shook their heads and didn't really understand
it
that.
It was weird how that nominating
Democrat
process,
and Republicans I talked to.
Yeah. It was weird how the nominating process went for the Republicans, because...
Well, I mean, you had a lot of, again, off into the weeds, local politics. You had Saccone involved. You had Guy involved. You had, at one point, Ortite, State Rep Ortite, right. involved. You had Kim Ward involved. And that sort of, the Westmoreland, Southern Allegheny, Mon Valley section. And you had all that, and you had... Kim Ward wasn't happy with Guy, maybe,
right.
and, was it a matter of sort of the young buck moving too fast and you have to cut your teeth and that kind of thing, which I've talked to a lot of young people, in politics, R's and D's, that bristle at that notion of, wait your turn, the old school way of you haven't cut your teeth yet, you haven't earned this, and, a lot of young people now are, they're like, I don't need to sit around for another 20 and 25 years waiting for my turn. I want to do this now.
Right. Because the story that came out of that nominating process was that Reschenthaler was the first place voter in the recipient in the first round of voting. And then because Kim Ward was third, she got all of her voters to vote for
Right. She basically
Saccone.
Told her people
right.
to back Rick. And then that put Rick over the top against Guy.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
do you
just,
think that maybe there
politics.
Should have been a primary though? I mean,
well, I mean, under the
maybe the voters would have picked.
It's a unique circumstance, especially. I mean, then you get into redistricting, and the 18th district's basically going to disappear anyway. It was a lot of it was just about the optics of it, and that's why you saw Republicans dumping up to $15 million,
right?
Outside groups. Into the race to back up Saccone, who really wasn't, doing much on his own, fundraising-wise.
Do you think the money hurt them in some way? That, you put so
I
much
I think those ads
it?
Annoyed a lot of people.
Yeah.
I live in Moon. I saw the ads. And some of it was just ridiculous. Little Connor Lamb and, Bo Peep and everything. And I think a lot of people, but I think at some, there's a tipping point where you just annoy people.
Right.
It's so much, and some of it is so ridiculous that people are like, really? And especially they sort of just took the tactic that they use on a national basis with Nancy Pelosi being mm-hmm. the boogeyman, boogeywoman. Connor Lamb's just going to follow her. And he said months and months and months before he's like, I'm not going to support.
Yeah,
Nancy
he really
Pelosi.
Came out.
He was on the record.
On that really quickly.
I'm not going to support Nancy Pelosi. And yet all you heard about was Nancy Pelosi. And kind of, you think Nancy Pelosi adopted him and raised him as her own or something. It was ridiculous. But they bank on people not knowing the details, you know, because then that puts pressure on Connor to try and get that message out over and over and over.
Well, it's great how it turned out, though, because now it reduces the incentive to spend too much on a race, and it gets some of the money out of politics, which is what we all want.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it'll obviously...
But they'll learn from their mistake.
They have to. I doubt that. to be honest, they're going to turn their attention to obviously more winnable races. Like, mm-hmm. Connor's going to run against Keith Rossbus in 17th.
Yes.
Well, he still has a primary opponent, Ray Lensenmeyer, in the Democratic primary. But for all intents and purposes, it's going to be Connor and Keith. And you know, no one expects the same amount of money to flow into that race to back up Keith Rothfuss as it did in the 18th.
No, it's not as red of a district as 18 was.
The new 17th isn't.
No.
Trump would have won it by about, I think, 2.5, 3 percentage points compared to 20 in the 18th. You take out and Keith's really strong areas such as Johnstown, Cambria County, Somerset County, really, you know, historically, you know, working class Democratic areas that have switched in, you know, the past few years over to voting Republican. He's worked those areas hard and is there all the time and gains a lot of media coverage, and he's not happy losing those. I mean, I've said that, I've talked to him about it. He's not happy losing Johnstown, but what you have to deal
so
with.
So who do you think is going to win that race?
Well, I mean, that's neck and neck. If I had to bet, just because of the tenor of the times and what we saw in the 18th, I'd say Connor.
Yeah.
You know, right now, close, you know, 52-48, 53-47, something like that. But, I mean, you know, things can change. You know, he's sworn in. He got sworn in today, so he's going to have a record. It'll be a short record.
But the name recognition, I mean, it's over the top.
I mean, he's the phenom.
Yeah.
He's, you know, the superstar now, the new guy.
He's the hot commodity.
Right. And I don't know how you dim that star. You know, it's going to take a lot of money, obviously. And Keith has a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's going to take more money than what he can raise on his own. He's going to need those outside groups to come in and back him and just hammer Connor. But I don't know if they're going to do that because, you know, before it was one race, a special election. You know, everybody's going to be on the table in the fall.
Right.
So they start looking at this. They start looking at Southeast PA, you know, Republicans. You know, where's our best value? Where are we going to sink our money into? For PA, and then you look across the country. So, as with most things, it comes down to money and getting the message out and making the other guy look bad. But I don't know if that's going to happen with this race. Obviously, not to the extent in the 18th.
It's going to be really interesting how it turns out. It does look like we are about out of time, though. So, everybody, please stay tuned for the live broadcast of the 44th District debate. It's coming up at 7 o'clock. JD, it was great having you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And we're signing off now. Thanks for listening.